In our sermon series this past couple of months, boy, it seems like maybe since January, we have surveyed and have begun to survey the scriptures. I've started a series I'm calling God's Story, and we're looking at just one thing. We're looking at how God tells us about individuals throughout history, biblical history, and the way that he interacts with individuals in particular is kind of the gist of our study. And one of those people is Joseph. We'll get there in just a few minutes this morning. But the notable thing amongst many things in Joseph's life is that he dealt with all kinds of adversity, adverse situations. And it was because, I believe, his faith in God, as Moses is going to describe it here as we get to the text this morning, that he was sustained. Every one of you has dealt with some degree of adversity, difficulties, trials in life, some more than others. Many of you recall Robert Rogers and the sad and yet fascinating story of the loss of a family in a flood, his wife and four children, and how that challenged his faith. But as a result, his confidence, his hope in God grew. And we have an opportunity to hear from a special young lady this morning from Bronson, who now lives in Kentucky. You may sense a little bit of a southern accent. It sounds like it's getting a little thick there. I can say that because I married a southern girl. And she probably dealt with one of the hardest things that life can deal you as a young married woman. Her husband, Jake, took his life. And this last couple of years, the Lord has drawn especially close to her, and he's given her the ability to manage and to move through this season, I think, with great grace. Her testimony is on YouTube, and another pastor cued me. I saw it, and I said to her mom up at the school building there, I said, boy, next time Whitney's in the neighborhood, ask her if she'd be willing to share just a short testimony of how God is working in her life afterwards through this. And she was glad to do that. I don't know if you know Whitney. I hope you get a chance to meet her today. She's a special young lady. Whitney, why don't you come on up, if you would. Take a few minutes. And we just want to ask you to share how you're doing and what God is doing in your life. We've prayed for you over these last couple of years. It's good to have you with us today.
Good morning. So I have been blessed with the opportunity to just share with you how God has been working in my life. And these past 2 years have been crazy for me. It's been hard, but God has really, really proven faithful for me. And I think before I start, it's important for you guys to know I work as an engineer, and I have a very logical thinking mind. And so for me to understand, well, for me to believe, I guess, in certain things, I need to know why they happen and how they work. And for me, I struggled always growing up. Like, I believed in God, and I believed that Jesus had, you know, come to this earth and that he had died and is risen and is in heaven. But I struggled with the fact that he performed these miracles, because I have a problem with the supernatural. I don't understand it. And throughout these last 2 years, God has worked in my life, and I have seen so many supernatural things throughout my life that there's no way. I would have written it off as coincidence before, but there is no way that it is coincidence. It has to be God, and I am convinced of that after going through what I've been through. So I could talk to you guys all day about the different experiences just in these last 2 years, but I just picked a couple that I want to tell you about, and just hopefully somebody finds some encouragement out of it. But so Jake passed away March 24th of 2014, and my family is awesome, very supportive, and the first thing that, you know, they encouraged me to do was to get into counseling. And so I would suggest counseling to anybody, by the way. It's so helpful. But so I started counseling with a Christian counselor, and he was very helpful, but I had so many questions and doubts, and I didn't understand how God fit into my circumstances and suicide, and I was really struggling with that. And so I decided I needed to talk to my pastor. And we set up some counseling times with him. And we met with him, and he was very helpful, answered a lot of questions. And at the end of one of the counseling sessions, he said to me, My wife and I are praying that you have a good friend that walks into your life. And at the time, that was so important because Jake and I had been down in Kentucky for 3.5 years. And we had made friends, but we didn't have a lot of, like, really close friends. We were happy just spending time together. And so we spent most of our time together rather than with other people. And I didn't have, you know, my mom could only be down there for so long before she had to leave. And then I needed somebody to be there to support me and just to be a good friend to me. And so it was very important for him to be praying for that for me. And when he told me that, it was literally 1 week later, I had this young lady show up at our Sunday morning breakfast blend, which was like our Sunday school. And she was very happy. She was very bubbly, and I was not. I was in this place where I was struggling to make it through the church service, through the breakfast blend. I was struggling to even get through it without crying. And she walked in, and she was just so happy and excited to be there. And my mom offered for her to sit with us, and I was like, Mom, like, really? But it turned out to be probably the most impactful and comforting thing for me, because this girl is so on fire for God, and she loves to talk about God. She loves to just share her testimony and share with everybody that she meets. Like, she wants to know if you know God, and if you don't, she's going to tell you about it. And so we became really good friends. We got to know each other very well, and she is an amazing, amazing girl. So once we started to get to know each other, she was from Louisville. She had been going to school up there, and there's a mega church in Louisville called Southeast Christian, and she was involved in the college-age ministry there. And so she wanted to just go up and visit the church, and she asked if I wanted to go with her. And so we left on a Saturday evening. We went up to that Saturday night church service. And while we were on the way up there, she asked me if I had ever heard of the Jesus Calling book. And this is actually it. If you guys haven't heard of it, it is amazing. And I hadn't heard of it at all. But while we were on our way, she's like, you really should get that because it's a daily devotional. And she said sometimes, like several times, it's just spoken to me as if God is saying these words like directly to me. And so while we were at this mega church, we went into the bookstore, and they had this Jesus Calling book right next to the checkout. I really wasn't even looking for it, but it was right next to the checkout. And so I grabbed a copy of it, and I bought it. And I went home that night, and I set it on my stand in my living room. And I really didn't think too much about it, you know, just I'll get to it later. So my parents were in town still that weekend. And so that next Sunday morning, I was in the bathroom. I was doing my hair, getting ready for church. And my mom walks in, and she's got this book, and she's like, Whitney, I just opened to this page, and it's the first page I opened to, and I started reading, and you have to read this. And so this is what it says. This is a time in your life when you must learn to let go of loved ones, of possessions, of control. In order to let go of something that is precious to you, you need to rest in my presence where you are complete. Take time to bask in the light of my love. As you relax more and more, your grasping hand gradually opens up, releasing your prized possession into my care. You can feel secure even in the midst of cataclysmic changes through awareness of my continual presence. The one who never leaves you is the same one who never changes. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. As you release more and more things into my care, remember that I never let go of your hand. Herein lies your security, which no one in no circumstance can take from you. And the craziest part of this whole thing is not only is that, you know, exactly what I needed at exactly the right time, but this passage is dated for March 24th. And it's just like, that's like three coincidences all in one thing, that my mom opened to that page, that it says exactly what I needed to hear, and that it's dated for the same day that he passed away. And to me, that was just like, that was God telling me that my prized possession is in his care, and there was no better confirmation that I could have received than that at that moment. And so, I mean, this was the first time that I had really, you know, experienced God in that way, that he was like using this to talk directly to me. And I was so encouraged by it. And it really just kind of like changed my outlook on things. And I decided that I really wanted to, when Jake passed away, my whole life was just kind of shattered. So I pretty much had to start from scratch and rebuild my life. I had to set new goals, figure out how to live, you know, on my own. And I'm still I'm still learning, but one of the things that I decided was that my life isn't about me and what I can do while I'm here, but my life is about what I can do to show people God through me. And it's about just serving others and just like showing his love to others, because what I do here doesn't matter, but what I do for him, well, that will make a difference. And so I decided that I wanted to get involved in missions. And there was a gentleman at my church who, he had gone to Guatemala several years, and I had heard about the trips. I had been interested in them, but I never really asked him about them and never really made that commitment to go. But him and I talked, and I decided that I was going to go to Guatemala. I was really, really excited about it. Couldn't wait to go. It was, you know, this was what I was supposed to be doing. And then the day before it came. And I suddenly was just, I felt just overwhelmed with guilt. I didn't know if I was doing the right thing. I felt guilty for traveling without Jake for the first time. I felt guilty for that I was going to see things that he would never have the opportunity to see. And it was just this survivor's guilt. And the devil was just playing with my mind. I was crying. I didn't want to go, but I did. And that next morning, I woke up. We got on our flight, and we had a connecting flight in Miami. And one of the things you have to know about Jake is that when he would say goodbye to people, he would sign off. Like, if he was texting, he would write peace and love instead of saying goodbye. And that was one of the things that when we did his memorial service that my pastor really stressed, I guess. Like, that was Jake's message to the world, was peace and love. And so when we got off at our terminal in the Miami airport, we were supposed to go to, like, Terminal 4 or something, but we wanted to eat, and so we went to Terminal 3. So we weren't even supposed to be at that terminal. But we went there, and as we got off the trolley and went down the escalator, in giant, giant letters on the wall, it said peace and love. And they were made out of Gerber daisies, which was our flower from our wedding. And it was just like, at first I'm just like, that is such a coincidence, like, that is so cool. And I had to take pictures, and I sent them to my mom and my pastor, and I was so excited about it. But the more I sat there and reflected on it as we were, you know, waiting for our food, as I sat there and reflected, I just felt this overwhelming, like, just this peace. It was like God and Jake, or, you know, they were talking to me, like, they had put that there special for me so that I would know that I was doing the right thing, and that they were still with me, and that they still love me. And it was just this, I wish every one of you could experience it. It was just this overwhelming peace that just filled my heart. And it was, I can't even explain it, but there's so many times that God, I mean, I've just been broken down. You know, Jake passed away, and then Sarah showed up, and God has provided for me in every single time that my life has been shattered. So Sarah showed up, and then she got me through the really hard time. And then she had to leave she took a job in a different state. And so she left, and that rocked my world, just having her leave. But it was just a couple weeks after she left, and I went to another church to a Bible study, and there was another girl there. And now her and I and another girl, I mean, God put them in my life specifically at that time, at that moment, because they were there to pick me up. And they've been the most supportive, encouraging ladies that I could ask for. And then my pastor was also a really big part of my journey, just getting through things. And in August of last year, he sent out a letter that he resigned from our church. And that shook me up. I had a really hard time with it, because my church had been the only steady thing in my life since Jake passed away. Like, that was my rock, that I knew I could count on my church. And that was gone. And it was exactly 1 week later, I get this message from one of the guys that I had met on the mission trip to Guatemala. His message said, "Hey, Whitney, haven't talked to you in a while. Want to go to Nepal?" And literally, that's what he said. And this trip to Nepal was for a mission, and I had 3 weeks, I think, to raise money and prepare for this trip to Nepal, and it was life-changing. But it was, again, it was just God working right at that moment. He knew exactly what I needed, exactly when I needed it, and he was there to pick me up. So I guess my message is just, like, God is faithful. If you just trust him, he's working. It doesn't matter how bad your circumstance is, he's working in the middle of it. And to me, like, before Jake passed away, I really hadn't had a lot of struggles in my life. So when I had to deal with this, it just rocked my world as far as, like, my spiritual life. I didn't know what I believed. I know what I had been told, but I didn't know what I believed and what I didn't. And that's when I really had to start digging into the Bible. And I started to read the Bible. I started to question my faith. And that's when I found God and I experienced God. And it was just, there was this quote from the movie God's Not Dead. And it says, sometimes the devil allows people to live a life free of trouble because he doesn't want them turning to God. And I feel like that was my life before this happened. Like, I hadn't had to rely on God. I had never found God because I had been taught about him, but I hadn't discovered him on my own. And so that's what this has taught me. And another thing is, Sarah and I, when we were at that bookstore, we bought this Gideon Bible study. And it talks about just how God uses the most unlikely people. And with Gideon, and even with Joseph, he takes the most unlikely people and he breaks them down because he doesn't want our power to be seen. He wants his power to be seen. So if you're going through a tough time, if you're going through, you know, some adversity or, you know, you just, everybody goes through it. God could be breaking you down because he wants you to be that person that just shows his power and his glory. It could be, you know, we might not like it. It might be hard. It might be tough. But there's no better joy and peace that can come from anything besides, you know, knowing that God is working in your life and that he's using you to share his love and his glory with others.